I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Read the laminate.
Pulling out jives and jamboree handouts, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Manchester City are top of the league, but face Chelsea this weekend, and Liverpool need to get back to winning ways against Bournemouth. How you doing, everybody? It's a good week. Jose Mourinho fell over on some ice.
And then he got a prison sentence. In a rough old week.
Is it going to go down as a vintage week for him?
What a fall.
Is he
from
on Dancing
grace
on Ice now?
Yeah.
This is like...
Well, he could be. Actually, no, he couldn't be because he
it was on carpet on ice, wasn't it?
Well,
was it carpet on ice?
Carpet, red carpet, yeah.
He's a competitive man, though, isn't he? So maybe he will try and train and be better. Like, this is so weird. It's like seeing James Bond fall down a well.
Yeah, like it's not supposed to happen.
No, exactly.
But these
how
days
the smooth have fallen.
No, but Mourinho, he did fall over that velvet rope, didn't he?
Well, this is what I mean, though, this recent
it's been
period.
A terrible 6 months for him. Yeah. Terrible 6 months for him, really.
Yes.
What a fall from grace.
Uh-huh.
Living in a home. I mean, like, if you were to explain to, like, an alien race, on one hand, this is, like, the slickest, coolest, you know, sort of suavest manager we've ever seen in the Premier League. Mm. And a history of the most recent things he's done, been sacked from his job after embarrassing himself, was living in a hotel, fell over a velvet rope at an event, and then slipped on some ice. Those two things aren't conducive, are they?
But it's all proof that he arguably is a busted flush.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have done this, around 2005, 2006 when he first came to Chelsea.
Well, let's cross over live to our expert and falling correspondent, Jim Campbell.
Yes.
Jim, what do you think about it?
Well, it's unusual that anyone would take up this sort of clumsiness in their dotage, I suppose you'd call it. It's normally a thing that you're born with.
Do you expect it to continue into your dotage?
It's not. I would imagine it will get worse. Better
then,
or worse.
But
I don't know. It might peak. I mean, I am destined for a fall. You know, you get over a certain age and
you mean
fall when that's that.
You mean literally.
I mean, like
you mean literally,
fall,
not metaphorically. Like you're on stage doing some comedy and then you say something and then that's the end of your career there. You mean literal fall.
Yeah, I mean, probably both, actually.
Okay.
Jim is busy. You know, on like QVC where they're trying to sell you, I don't know, something for your cupboards to stop all your cans falling out.
Yeah.
Jim is the person where you see the video of like they open the cupboard and all the cans fall out.
Yeah.
No. Oh, there's sausages all over the floor again.
Who keeps sausages in a cupboard?
You could have hot dog sausages in a cupboard.
If they're in a tin. But Jim, I think you should be encouraged because, as Luke said, however many years ago, we could never have imagined Mourinho doing that. So he's obviously gone that way. Does it work the other way? Whereas actually maybe in
a
few years' time...
Is it a body swap comedy?
Yeah, maybe in a few years' time, you'll be
as suave as him. Maybe we'll see. My hair's greying, so maybe it'll become a bit of a silver fox. But I put this to you, Jose Mourinho. Falling over on ice is embarrassing, but I can see how it's happened. I once fell down an escalator to top that.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ones on the London Underground.
Yeah. Rolled back onto my feet as well, bafflingly.
Did you fall up an escalator?
No, down.
Down. Down an escalator.
Down a long one. I've got a scar from it on my belly.
Oh.
It's too painful to comprehend, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll all move on from that and talk about the Premier League.
Who's destined for a fall in the Premier League, Marcus?
Fulham.
I love how Huddersfield are rock bottom.
They've already fallen.
Forget.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you say they're destined for a fall, I mean, where they are, it's more like a little tiny stumble.
Trip.
Because they're already down there.
They're on a tightrope, aren't they?
Manchester City played Chelsea this weekend. They beat Everton, very surprisingly, 2-0 to go top of the league. Liverpool do have a game in hand, but I'll tell you what, if you're a Liverpool fan, they had a chance to go 7 points clear. And now, really, win the game in hand. Of course, it'll just be 3 points clear. Manchester City, they're coming back into it.
They are. Mm-hmm. Andy Robertson said that Liverpool are a bit fatigued rather than kind of nervous, which has been the sort of narrative surrounding them a bit, isn't it? We've spoken about it ourselves.
Sure.
It looks a bit cagey.
But then Alisson suggested that they were a bit more nervous.
Yeah,
with his comments.
Jurgen Klopp said something different as well.
To the referee, did.
Someone needs to go to Liverpool and say, let everyone shut up. Stop talking.
Yeah, you're making me nervous.
Yeah.
They just enjoy it, for crying out loud. But yeah, they beat Everton quite comfortably, didn't they? I was very pleased to see Newport beat Middlesbrough in the cup because Manchester City will have to go to Rodney Parade in the fifth round of the FA Cup. Did you see the state of the pitch?
That was amazing.
I mean, a friend
it's
of mine,
a vintage FA Cup venue.
A friend of mine said, well, he's a Newport fan, and he said that, well, they do have two other... They do have two, two rugby teams. And I was like, yeah, and monster trucks as well. crying out loud.
And a mole problem.
I'm quite impressed you genuinely know a Newport County fan. I've never met one.
Do you know what? I watched the game on Tuesday with two former housemates of mine. One's a Newport fan and the other's a Middlesbrough fan.
How weird is that? The quality of the second goal was
beauty.
Insane.
Teddy Sheringham-esque, that corner routine.
But Middlesbrough, the thing is, we talk about, like, so you know, there's always a little bit of fortune involved when it comes to teams beating higher level opposition. There was no luck in that at all. They had so many chances, and the Middlesbrough keeper was so bloody good in that match.
He's 40 years old.
40 years young.
I didn't see the game live because I was at Loftus Road watching one of the worst games of football I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, sorry about that. But
Middlesbrough and Mullard.
What I love about Pulis going away to a side, what are they, two divisions below them?
Yeah.
Back five.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Losing. I know.
We will not deviate from the plan. No.
Middlesbrough were distinctly second best.
We are not here to have fun.
No. We talked on the show about how we would have liked Newport to have been able to play in Middlesbrough at Rodney Parade. And of course, because we thought they'd have a chance. And they got a draw unexpectedly. And they took them back. And as Pete said, I think it was Pete, they were well worth the win.
They really were.
I'm telling you now, Rodney Parade, over recent years, it's starting to build up a real tradition for being a bit of a graveyard for Premier League teams.
Man City?
I know Middlesbrough are a Premier League team, but who knows? Possibly. Yeah. But
if Newcastle can beat them.
There's a stand behind one of the goals at Rodney Parade. Yeah. They're miles back.
That's right.
And ordinarily, that would be a bit of a shame. But to me, it's quite synonymous with like watching an exciting FA Cup game.
Yeah. It is a strange one with Newport. I mean, they've been down in the depths of the Football League for a while and so on. And I think they were struggling financially, but this will give them a good old hit, certainly. But yeah, it's seeing Manchester City have to go away to a ground like that and more really the pitch like that. That's what the FA Cup's all about. And it'll be wonderful. Leroy Sané pegging down the wing. Will he be and the ball like just sticking and staying miles behind him?
Yeah.
Have they got any chance?
What
circumstances? Yeah, no, not against that romance.
Yeah, true enough. So we do look forward to that one. Manchester City, though, they are playing Chelsea, which is a big one. Mike Dean is in charge.
Yeah, I've
he's always in charge.
Not be surprised to learn that I've done some research on this.
Oh, yeah.
So as I'm sure you're about to point out, he's on 99 red cards. First referee to sort of, I think he'd be the first referee to get to 100. First person he sent off, Peter, was Nobby Solano.
Yeah.
Yay.
So he's got nine.
Stick that in your trumpet.
He's produced 9 red cards in 19 games this season, right? And the teams that he's dished out the most red cards against are Man City on 9 and Chelsea on 9.
Is it the 4 o'clock kickoff on Sunday?
Yes.
Everyone's watching.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, I mean, this will be a big name, right?
Yeah.
It'll be like, if he's going to steal the show as much as he likes to, it'll be like, who was City missed the most?
Imagine if
Aguero, maybe.
Imagine if, like, the game's about the kickoff. Man City are taking the kickoff. Aguero taps it back to whoever. Deeney immediately stops the game. Walk straight up to Aguero, red.
Mm-hmm.
Walk straight up to Hazard, red.
Yeah.
Yep. Right, now carry on.
Yeah.
101, actually.
Go on, off you pop to Madrid.
Yeah, off you pop, yeah.
I know, eh?
Well, I like the idea of him having a different, clever line, like a boss in like a comic book,
right.
Every time he sends someone off.
Yeah.
So you remember years ago where we talked about Slaven Bilic playing in that rock and roll band.
Oh, that was years ago.
We talked about him saying, does that strike a chord or whatever?
Mm. Yeah.
That kind of thing, but Deeney. Because there was one recently, I'm pretty sure it was Dean, where he gave up, it was either a penalty or a red card, and you can see the player coming up to him saying, what's that for? What's that for? And he just points at the colleague, the teammate who's committed the offence, and just points to him and goes, ask him. Ask him. It'll tell you.
You should know.
So you need like a kind of like a character based kind of pun catchphrase sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My consternation is clear. Get off.
Marcus, carry on.
I will.
you asked for it. I'll give you an underwhelming one and we've got to move on. Is this how this works?
So now you're not going to do anything for the next half an hour and about 40 minutes in you're going to come up with another one. That's how it normally works.
Yeah. Yeah, but the actual game itself, I mean, how do we see this going? Obviously, Man City are favourites. Chelsea, they do have Higuain in there.
Yeah, you know what? I've got a little bit of a feeling about Chelsea here and it's not the normal, like, slightly sicky one. Because they beat them at the Bridge, didn't they? And obviously they've had some... had some ups and downs since then, but they've had 7 days to prepare, whereas City played the other night and looked a little bit flat. So it could be, difficult for City.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think Chelsea could do something here. I think Higuain gives Sarri that option that he really wants up front. And when Chelsea have played a little bit compact and then hit on the break, I mean, we know what they're like on the break with Hazard and Willian. Pretty decent as well. I think that they'll play like that. And actually, the way Sarri's team plays, obviously, it's been under scrutiny. I think that playing compact and trying to hit them on the break, I think that will suit Chelsea.
Did you see Chelsea away at Bournemouth, anyone?
Yeah, but again,
well, this is it.
No, but that's a totally different game, though, because Chelsea have got to go and play against Bournemouth. That's the point I'm making, is against Manchester City, especially away from home, like they did at Stamford Bridge, the blueprint is there. They've got to play compact.
So you think Sarri ball is suited to being almost a more reactive team?
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that, but I'm saying that on the evidence of a few games this season, I mean, even against Liverpool at Stamford Bridge as well, when Sturridge scored that great goal to equalise, I thought Chelsea's game plan was pretty good then. Again, hitting the teams on the counter.
I just feel my assessment of it, for whatever it's worth, is just that I don't know if the players are particularly happy overall. And because what we're seeing is actually quite a lot of inconsistency more recently in Chelsea. So I take your point about Bournemouth, but by the same token, they went and beat Huddersfield 5-0.
But Man City got beat of Newcastle.
Huddersfield are a poor, fine, but that's not a point I'm making. Huddersfield are a poor team. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But Chelsea had to be proactive in that game, and they easily won the game. But against Bournemouth, when Bournemouth felt to me like Bournemouth found a way to be successful against Chelsea, Chelsea didn't really have any answer. Mm-hmm. So I guess the big question will be, if Chelsea, I don't know, go a goal behind, will we get a reaction there? Will we see something like that? Because I don't think they're not going to find it easy. And I also feel like Man City have got the bit between their teeth now. They're in better form than Liverpool, and they clearly, Guardiola was annoyed about this little blip they've had. And outside of that Newcastle game, what, they won every single game? 10 games, I think. They've lost that one game and they've won all other nine. So they're in decent form. The draw here is 7-2 with Bet365. So Man City v Chelsea, the draw, 7-2. £10 returns, £45, including stake.
Yeah. Former Man City striker Sean Gota. You heard about this? Joining Big Soul at Macclesfield as academy coach.
Good news.
Love it. Get them all in there.
Does that mean we can no longer call Messi the GOAT?
We never really could,
because Gota is the GOAT. Yeah, feed the GOAT. Yeah.
The thing with Sean Gota, I thought he was joining us like a striking coach, like Andy Cole. I thought
that's Andy Cole's job.
Yeah. Well,
I like the former strikers. Go there, strikers union.
Sean Gota has spent. Everyone spent a long time feeding the GOAT, and it's now it's nice to see him giving a bit back, feeding other people.
That's right.
Feeding young players,
raising young.
He's vomiting it up. He's vomiting up goals.
He's working with the kids, isn't he?
Advice.
Liverpool.
Kids love goats. Any petting zoo owner will tell you that.
Liverpool are at home to Bournemouth. Peter.
Marcus, Pete hasn't finished. He wants to talk about petting zoos.
Well, what I would like to remind people is that Peter Donaldson said that Liverpool going to West Ham is a tricky fixture.
Fixture.
And people, myself included, thought, but West Ham are in poor form, surely. Well, it was a fixture. Draw. And West Ham, I mean, they were probably the better side. So,
even after they brought Andy Carroll on.
Indeed. Not brilliant from Liverpool. No. Drawn the last couple of games and they've thrown away their lead, although they do have a game in hand. But Jurgen Klopp, now we like Jurgen Klopp, but he was a bit over the top with Kevin Friend, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Well, this is kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier in the season, Luke, about how sort of emotionally charged Klopp can be and how measured people tend to be the managers that can go the distance, and we're seeing that they do look nervy. Whatever Andy Robertson says, it's very it's a clear wobble, isn't it?
I wonder if Mourinho had done what Klopp did. You'd think, oh, well done, he's taken the heat off his players there. I did think it was a bit full on, because I mean, they got an amazing decision in the first half.
And not
only that. In this game against West Ham, if Origi had scored, that would have been a goal as well. He was miles offside as well.
Well, Klopp said, didn't he, that the first goal, the Liverpool goal, he said, was offside. Yeah. So obviously the referee's trying to balance it up because he realises it's at half-time. Blah, blah, blah.
It's not the referee's decision, though, is it? It's the assistant referee's decision.
Yeah, and you sort of think, I mean, that logic, I don't really...
I think he was trying to channel a bit of the attention away from his players. I think he knows they've got a little bit of a problem. Not a huge problem. I'm not saying they're gonna pile in or whatever, but I think they're not playing with the tempo that you associate with them. And whether that's to do with nerves or fatigue, you'd almost hope it's nerves, because then Klopp can do what he's been great at, which is give them confidence, settle them down, get them to go again. If it's fatigue, It's harder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if they're tired, they're tired. Well, I don't see why they would necessarily be, though, because they had a strong finish to last season, did they not? Got to the Champions League final.
They've got a lot of injuries.
But the pressure was off.
They've got a lot of injuries and they've got a lot against play in the next few weeks. But I didn't realise how much of a miss Wijnaldum would be.
Yeah, huge.
Absolutely so important.
He's had a good season.
But you mentioned that at the end of last season, well, in the league, did they finish fourth? The pressure was off.
No, I think they were third, were they not? They were fourth.
The pressure was off. They weren't really playing for anything other than get into that Champions League spot. Yeah, okay, so they went to the final of the Champions League, but again, they weren't expected to. Every round it was like, amazing, we're through. When they played Manchester City in the quarterfinal, again, they were slight underdogs. Yeah. And they were brilliant, of course. Then against Roma, again, first leg was brilliant. Second leg, okay, it was comfortable because of the first leg, but still they conceded, four goals or whatever. Admittedly, one was very, very late on. So with Klopp teams, when it comes to the point where it's kind of right, you're expected now to do this. The lead is yours to throw away.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But they only lost one of their, I just checked, they only lost one of their last eight Premier League games last season.
Sure. But they've drawn two recently and they've thrown away a potential big lead. Now, they could get a three-point lead back. Now, I don't know whether psychologically, in a weird way, this might be good for them. They sort of think, right, oh, hang on. Right, heads back on.
Suits them to be chasing.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah, no, I can see it suits them to be chasing.
But we saw with Leicester City, a team who were not used to being there, Ranieri in his persona, very calm, managed to keep the players calm and they started grinding out 1-0.
Yeah. I thought the last game they played at Anfield, so obviously the West Ham game was away, but the last game they played at Anfield against Leicester, look, I was only watching on TV. I'm happy to be told differently. It looked really nervy. Mm. It looked like there was tension.
And it's too early for being nervy.
Exactly. It's not like we're in May.
No, exactly.
But then, so when they play Bournemouth, who have had a notable result or two themselves recently, again, it comes down in a weird way, the same way the Man City-Chelsea game does, which is, how good is your start? Can you get out of the blocks with tempo? Can you score early? Can you settle everyone down? Then can you let your quality shine through? Of course, if you get to half-time and it's 0-0 and it's a bit stodgy, then you really find out the measure, don't you?
I think it's a good fixture, though, for Liverpool, because Bournemouth aren't brilliant defensively. They've got a bit of flair going forward.
Their style should play into Liverpool's hands.
Exactly, yeah.
So Bourneymouth are without Brooks, aren't they?
Yes.
As well.
For a while, I think so.
They're 11-1 with Bet365 Bournemouth to cause an upset this weekend. £10 returns, £120, including stake, should they come away with all 3 points.
Yes, indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PTD.
Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees!
Got mail.
Babies.
Hello to Andrew Gilbert. Hello, Ramblers. Wanted to point you towards Robbie Savage's comments about Norwich's promotion push.
Ooh.
Let's be honest, said the former Welsh international. Would I rather see Leeds United, Derby County, Birmingham or Aston Villa than Norwich in the Premier League? Yes, I would.
Right.
I only really bring this to your attention because Robbie Savage is sharing his career stories at Carrow Road on the 1st of March. I can't imagine tickets were flying off the shelves before or after these comments.
Do you remember?
Also, Chris Sutton gave a very simple response to Savage's comments. Idiot. Yeah.
He's good for that. He's good for that, Chris Sutton.
Oh, you haven't seen an idiot until you've seen Robbie Savage.
That's actually quite good. Chris Sutton is paired up with, I think, Alistair Bruce Ball a lot on 5 Live.
Remember, they were in Russia, weren't they?
They were together, and I think they do 606 together. I'm fairly sure Alistair Bruce Ball is an Ipswich fan.
Oh.
And obviously Chris Sutton's got an affiliation with Norwich. So there's a lot of, I'm going to use the word, hashtag banter flying around.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. I've come full circle with Sutton. I really like him now.
Yeah, do you? Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
I like his commitment to being such a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever...
It's not an affectation.
I should have given you this beforehand so you could have found the audio, but I didn't know you were going to talk about Savage, but maybe we could find it at a later time. Did we ever talk about the time when someone called into 606 and accused Robbie Savage of buying like 40...
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
That's we did. Okay,
absolutely amazing.
He goes absolutely apoplectic to the point where it definitely happened.
But the point is as well, because the guy's calling in to say, I saw you buying like 20 pairs of trainers, being a really, really flash git. And he's like, I've never done that. It's never me. And at the end, whoever's co-hosting with him says, well, you're a wealthy man. Why not buy loads of trainers? He goes, I get them sent for free. Jesus.
Robbie.
Literally tried to
Flobby
stop.
Flobby Savage.
Tried to stop me and Luke being on the telly once.
Yeah, he did. About 5 minutes before the show started.
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard he's been slagging us off on the podcast.
Come along, Peter.
Marcus, don't move on. He's a knobhead.
No.
He is a knob.
No.
Carry on, Peter.
Calle Hedstrom Gustafsson.
or Headstrom.
Good name.
Maybe.
Good name.
Great. Hello, I'm fed up with the English-British whatever way of calling the right foot left foot header a perfect hat trick. Obviously scored by Marcus Speller a few weeks ago for his 11-a-side team.
Why are you fed up with that? Yeah. That's just what we say.
It annoys me. I'm fuming about it.
Doesn't annoy me, especially when you score one.
That is not a perfect hat trick. In Sweden...
Well, in Britain it is.
All right,
Marcus.
Why are you so riled?
Marcus would like to say that Brexit means Brexit.
All right. Exactly.
He hopes we just bloody get on with it.
Just after the 29th of March, we won't have to listen to this kind of email.
The emails we filtered. Peter, carry on.
We'll be IP protected.
Geo-blocked.
Geo-blocked. We're going to geo-fence the emails. In Sweden, and I assume most other Scandinavian countries, since they usually copy us in most things. Ooh. A perfect... It sounds like he wants a bit of Brexit from Scandinavia. A perfect hat-trick is three goals scored by the same person without anyone else, opponent or teammate, scoring in between. How much better is that?
That's not better. And also, in the Netherlands, though, I think someone once told us that a perfect hat-trick is three goals in the same half.
Right. Well,
so basically, what we're saying is that in different countries, they mean different things.
Perfect.
I'm just so fed up with the Swedes doing that.
I can't remember his name. What's his name?
Kalle.
Kalle.
Yeah. Kalle.
The hat trick. I'm fairly sure it didn't used to be considered a hat trick in football unless they were scored in a row. Mm-hmm. Very much the same way in cricket, where it's only a hat trick if it's three wickets and three balls.
Oh, yeah.
It got changed at some point. I don't think that I might be wrong, and I probably am, but I don't ever remember that being called a perfect hat trick. I remember that being historically a hat trick, and then it was changed.
Right.
I'm team Speller on
God
this.
God save our gracious queen.
I actually quite like the perfect header, left foot, right foot header.
Same.
I mean, but I like that one as well.
Because it shows that you're a fully rounded striker.
Yes.
Yeah.
A shoulder.
It does show that. Luke.
Can we put an Alan shoulder in there? Kalle says if the cat at Goodison had scored three goals, it would have been a perfect hat trick.
Yeah. So I'll take that.
He's redeemed himself.
Yeah. Read yourself
that. That was quite poor, but it was all right.
Is that fun?
Yeah, it was.
Michael Stefanu. Hello, Michael. I know you suddenly realised you were down a hole with your talk about Tammy Abraham not celebrating at Chelsea when you realised he too had come through there. But to pull out saying, come on, you weren't really there for very long, is a bit of a long shot because he's been at Chelsea since 2004 and is still their player.
I'll be honest with you, I got him confused with another Chelsea player who went to Swansea. It was Scott Sinclair.
There we go.
Was Scott Sinclair.
There we go.
Because Scott Sinclair wasn't there for... Well, I think he was there for... five seasons, but he went out on loan and so on.
Apologise then.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Say sorry to Michael.
Sorry,
because
Michael.
He says you should have mentioned his measly two league appearances for Chelsea. Anyway, I don't know why I've wasted my time sending this. My Nando's Fino Pitta is now called Chiz Marcus.
Yeah, again, I apologise for that as well.
A welcome return for the corrections and clarification section.
We'll send you a postal order for that Nando's.
Postal order? Can you still send those, do you reckon?
I presume so. Probably get one from the post office.
I guess that Western Union's probably taken off, haven't they?
Yeah.
Mm. Other delivery services are presumably available.
Yeah. Who cares?
I just want that Nigerian prince to send me my money.
I can imagine his wife going, are you going to eat the dinner? We're having a nice meal. Are you going to? I will. I've set the record straight about Tammy Abraham because he has been besmirched on my third favourite podcast and I will not have it.
I don't know.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
I don't know if Tammy Abraham even scored against Chelsea when he's playing for Swansea. I can't remember, but it was Scott Sinclair.
Either way.
Doesn't matter.
Sure. Yeah, sorry. No, we're ending the section.
Short@thefootballramble.com.
Tommy Amiobi signed for a team in Canada.
Yeah.
Still going.
So many players have come from Chelsea and off they go on loan and all the rest of it. But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Enough of that crap. Let's go for an ad break. See you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, I can't wait to get out of them, if I'm honest. I think we'll be far better.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, everybody. We move on to Spurs. Versus Leicester City. Jim Campbell, I once again put it to you, are Tottenham Hotspur going to win the league?
You didn't even wait for the question.
in the future.
It's like we're talking on Skype.
No. Yeah, they're 5 points off the top of the table.
And there was talk, wasn't there, this week in the newspapers that for the first time in I don't know how long, Spurs are going to overtake Arsenal in the Money League as well.
Yeah, really?
Which would probably be a worrying sort because of Arsenal. So the angle of the story with it was is that it was imperative that Arsenal got back into the Champions League. For next season. Because
yeah, well, we've got to bolster the 40 million war chest we're apparently going to have in the summer if we don't get into the Champions League.
I'm led to believe that if they don't get into the Champions League next season, Mesut Ozil alone will bankrupt them. His outgoings will just bankrupt Arsenal instantly.
Oh, I see. Weirdly, Spurs have set a new Premier League record of 29 matches without a draw.
Incredible, isn't it?
It's very weird.
They've had two draws in the Champions League, I believe, against Barcelona and PSV. So they're not a stranger to a draw in all competitions.
No.
Just in the Premier League.
And no draws in the Cups.
No, I don't imagine it'll be a draw against Leicester either.
You wouldn't have thought so, would you? Spurs, yeah. I mean, they're 5 points up the top of the table. They still need to go to Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, and host Arsenal.
It's exciting, isn't it?
You know what?
Because they could have a say in this. They could be, at the very least, they could be kingmakers here.
Exactly.
And they'd hope to put the crown on their own heads.
Of course.
But they could be kingmakers anyway.
I mean, do you think... It's always funny to see Spurs and you go, oh, they're a bit closer than what I thought.
They're picking up 3 points every time, aren't they?
Yeah, they're getting the late wins that are...
Well, and this is the key, Jim, I think.
Well, Man City playing Chelsea as well.
The key thing is, you know, we've spoken on this show about them perhaps playing at the limit of their powers with the size of squad they've got.
Yep.
At the moment, they've got just three players unavailable. Of course, two of the most important players, Ali and Kane. The other player who's out, I think, is Ben Davis. But sometimes it depends on how you look at it, because we've certainly on this show, and we would have seen other football coverage where they say, well, you know what? The sign of a good team is you grind out the wins, you win.
And
you
they're very much
well,
doing that.
You win. The last two games they've played against Watford, they 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, got the win.
Yep.
We are at Wembley for the Newcastle game. They controlled the game, but they controlled the game pretty much in the middle third, and Newcastle defended so well and were so organised, yet they find a way of getting the win. They shoot, keeper makes an error, whatever, and they win. If they beat Leicester, they then go to Burnley. You fancy them to win that. Then is where it gets tricky, because they play Chelsea away and then Arsenal at home.
But
if they come out the other side of that, I mean, you've got to really
still in there and they get Kane and Ali back, it's like... What a great time to have two brilliant players. Sure.
The talk is that Kane, I think I'm right in saying Kane regularly sort of comes back earlier than expected from his injury.
Right.
And there's talk that him and Ali will be back at the start, possibly at the start of March.
Yeah,
just not actually that long ago.
I mean, they do have, they've got Dortmund in the Champions League. And as I say, just to reiterate, away to Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea still to come, and obviously hosting Arsenal. So there are some fixtures in there. It's all about, do they have enough energy? You know, we often talk about Spurs playing to their very limit. Well,
it would almost serve them to get out of the Champions League, wouldn't it, really?
I know what you mean, yeah. I do find it intriguing. Much has been made about them playing at Wembley, yet they are still third, and mathematically, they are still in the title race.
This is a really interesting fixture as well, because Leicester are in some shoddy form, but they have done well against better teams. I feel like Spurs could win this 5-0, or it'd be 0-0. I think if they score early, they're absolutely fine. Mm. But it's, you know, they're having to dig it out a bit of late, and maybe Leicester will you know, test that.
Yeah, I mean, they lost 1-0 to Manchester United, of course, but they had a few chances and whatnot. But they've won just once in the last seven matches, and that win was on the 1st of Jan, Leicester. And they're currently 11th on 32 points. And a bit like Everton.
There's a draw with Liverpool in that, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Do you remember last year in May, it was like Spurs, it was 5-4 against Leicester. Some crazy game.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed for one of them.
Yeah, exactly. But like Everton, realistically, Leicester will finish between 7th and 12th. And for me, actually, Leicester are probably the best side in that sort of middle pack with Everton and Wolves and so on. Wolves are playing the best, but I maybe suggest that I would quite...
There's not much between those teams, is there?
No, there isn't.
No. And obviously, Puel's pretty unpopular there, and there's talk. I mean, I heard a guy on the radio the other day calling in. I know people who call into phone-ins aren't necessarily representative, but he called in saying that he wants Puel gone, and he wants... And to an extent, if you're a fan of the club, you know the club far better than I do. It's absolutely your right to have your opinion on that. But I suppose my question back would be, what do you actually want? I mean, what do you expect? Because are you asking for them to play much better football? Because even if they do play much better football, even if it goes well, it's unlikely they're going to push up any higher than they are at the moment.
But then
right?
I suppose you could argue that if Leicester are a mid-table side, then the best they can hope for is make it a bit entertaining.
Yeah.
If you're going to make it a bit boring and a bit functional, you think, well, we're not going to go down.
Well, I don't know if we're that's not true, challenge. Though. I mean, you've made the point yourself, Marcus, that generally speaking, it wouldn't be surprising to see any team outside the top six be relegated at some point in the future.
Yeah.
So
I agree with
clubs
that.
Have got to look at that. Clubs
yeah, they do.
You've got to sort of...
I think it was very hard, Jim, at the start of the season, outside of Everton, to earmark teams that would definitely be mid-table. Mm-hmm. Because I know it's manifested itself now, as you rightly say, Marcus, with Wolves, Leicester and Everton.
Mm.
Everton aside, and Watford. But actually, Everton aside, I mean, Leicester have... Fine, they've won the Premier League in recent memory, but they've also been relegated in recent memory.
Yeah.
You know, Wolves have only just come up, so you can't make any guarantees there.
Yeah.
You know, one or two other clubs, Watford, I mean, they've settled now, but they used to be a very, very transient team in terms
of
personnel.
You see it happen. Teams, they slip, don't they? Like me on an escalator. It's probably, probably worth pointing out as well that Everton have never been relegated from the Premier League, so you probably include them in there as well.
But true enough.
I remember saying at the start of the season, outside of the top six, you put Everton to one side and then you get those teams. Mm. I don't think Everton have been in danger of it. No. But mind you, they did come quite close under Moyes not that long ago.
Yeah.
So
and Howard Kendall.
Spurs will be relishing this game against Leicester, of course. They are now 25-1 to win the Premier League this season. £10 with Bet365 returns £260, including stake. And I have to remind you, a while back when we covered this, Spurs were 40-1, so their price is coming in. They're more fancy than they were a few weeks ago.
My ship is coming in.
Let's go a little bit further down the league. Brighton versus Burnley is happening this weekend. Yes, indeed. Brighton won 3-1 after Ecky time against West Brom in the Cup this week.
West Brom are unlucky in extra time. I thought they were going to get a goal, but
yeah,
they didn't.
They did not. Glenn Murray was given man of the match despite just coming on in extra time. But he got those two goals, you see. They play Derby at home in the next round. And I'm looking at the FA Cup, and obviously Man City are still in there. But Manchester United play Chelsea, so one of them will go. Mm. You look at the likes of Palace, maybe even Brighton. If they can avoid the maybe Man City, presuming they're going to beat Newport.
People dancing on the touchline, if you can avoid that kind of caper.
Exactly. It is a real chance for a Brighton or a Palace to get to a semi, to get to even the final.
I felt sorry for West Brom, though.
Yeah.
I have to say, because you know what? They were 1-0 with 10 minutes to go. The guy who scores the equaliser shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Mm.
He should have walked for that elbow. Should have been sent off. Don't know why he wasn't. There's talk now that he might still be banned retrospectively.
Blimey. Yeah, that would be
threw an elbow in a guy's face. Should have walked. Mm. And then he's five, however many minutes later, he scores the equaliser.
Hey, why didn't they put VAR in the FA Cup, guys? Yeah. Why do we do that in every round for everything?
Yeah.
No, only in a few games.
Only a few games.
Only in a few.
But 8,000 there, though, at the Hawthorns.
Yeah.
The highest ground in England.
Is that right?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's the biggest, the highest altitude of any ground in England.
My goodness.
England's nipple.
Yeah, it is England's nipple, Jim. It is England's nipple, yeah.
All right. But do you know what the lowest one would be?
I don't, actually.
Could be Portsmouth, eh?
Portsmouth is the only ground to actually on an island.
Yeah.
Portsmouth's the only island city in the country, so that makes sense.
But, I always forget that about
Why is that?
Because Portsmouth's the island. It's genuinely an island.
Oh, you can only get there on those bridges.
Yeah.
Cut off to sort of quarantine it.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It only became an island about 10 years
ago. It's like Spinalonga, mate.
But Brighton themselves, I mean, it was their first win in 2019, that win against West Brom. And Chris Hughton, he spoke of crucial and winnable home games they have coming up. Burnley, of course, Huddersfield, Cardiff and Southampton in that time. They also go away to Leicester and Palace. And that is a chance for Brighton. They have a favourable run as it goes. They don't look like that they're going to be dragged into the relegation scrap, but they're not that far away from it. So going into this game, Jim, you'd fancy that with their home support and whatnot, they'll try and give it to Burnley.
Yeah, absolutely. But that is an alarming record, isn't it? That's their first win in 2019. They maybe sleepwalking a little bit. They're really not out of it.
They won in the Cup at the start of the year.
Yeah.
They won away from home in the Cup on the 5th of Jan.
Mm-hmm.
So they have won this.
Right, sorry, okay, sorry.
In the league.
Well, no, in the league they haven't won. Sorry, you're right enough.
Yeah.
I forgot that one. Yeah.
That makes me sound pedantic. Doesn't it?
No, it saves an email, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, Pete needs emails. Yeah. It's all gone wrong.
Yeah. I'm covered in best bets. I need emails.
We need to do errors on purpose, so Pete gets emails about us, so we can read them out.
That's right. Yeah.
Add more content.
Yeah, I mean, Burnley themselves, they've been much better since the turn of the year. And Dyche said recently that they're harder to beat, which is, of course, a return to form that worked so well from last season.
And they're the form team down there.
And they are.
Yeah.
And you would fancy them to begin to sort of pull away. Although, you know, I mean, they rescued a point at home to Southampton. So again, Burnley themselves, just because they're turning into the team a bit more than they were last season, which worked so well with them, again, doesn't mean to say that they're going to suddenly zoom up the league. Although they do have Peter Crouch among their ranks, which has got Sean Dyche purring, it's safe to say. And Dyche was saying that Crouch is more than just nuisance value.
Oh, he's a great signing for them. He fits in nicely. It gives him a different option. He's also got an amazing amount of experience. I think it's a great signing.
I mean, he's 38 years old.
Yeah. He played against Dyche, I think.
He did. Dyche talked about that. Dyche said that he smashed him all over the place. you can imagine the young...
It seems weird because I think Dyche is only 9 years older than Crouch.
Yeah.
And Dyche retired, I think, in 2007.
Right. I can't remember Dyche as a player.
As a player. No. As a player. And so their careers obviously crossed over.
I can't remember him as a player, but going on what he said about Crouch there and what we know about the man, it doesn't surprise me. And you can tell what type of player he was.
Yeah.
which is fair enough, yeah. But I mean, who would you fancy for this one? Brighton at home, they're usually pretty good, but then Burnley have been showing a bit of resilience.
I think Brighton at home is the factor, isn't it?
Burnley are 6 unbeaten, though.
Yeah. Who knows?
Oh,
under 2.5 goals is 8-15 in this one. £10 returns £15.33, including stake with Bet365. If we see 2 goals or fewer,
which is a fair
Let's
one.
Let's go with that one then.
I was going to say, which is a fair one, although having said that, it would probably be 3-all. All right, Morsey, what's our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet with Bet365 comes from Sanch, who says, afternoon, chaps. Many thanks for the On the Continent Barcelona special.
Oh, not at all.
Had a blast last Wednesday evening. Hope you boys enjoyed the croquetes de jamón.
Ah!
And that we didn't give you food poisoning. So a little bit of a story. Our European sister show On the Continent did a live event last Wednesday around a Barcelona movie.
Right.
And it was out in West London. And a chap, this guy Sanch, came and knocked us up beforehand and gave us a lot of Spanish food that he'd made himself.
I want some lovely croquetes de jamón.
Some in the fridge for you. I saved some in the fridge. So yeah, I thought Sanch could have, in return for his generosity, give him a little spin in the hot seat.
Yeah, lovely. So.
He says, I managed to mug myself off last week by getting my best bet in too late, but thankfully the footballing gods saw fit to demug me and give me a second crack of the whip. My best bet is something of a spicy one. This weekend I'm back in Andy Townsend's more talented relative, Andros Townsend.
Yes!
And my best bet with Bet365, therefore, is Andros Townsend to score at any time beat West Ham.
Love it!
12-5 with Bet365. Ooh. If it comes in, the princely sum of £170 will be won for Prostate Cancer UK, including stake. I'm sure it's a bet all four of you can get behind.
Damn right.
Cheers, gents.
And also, that will bring him up to 5 Premier League goals, which is cool. Something Pete said that he would never do.
He also says, P.S., I'm a Crystal Palace fan, and Pete Donaldson is barred from Sellers Park.
I love Sellers Park. Lovely place to watch football.
So Andros Townsend to score at any time against West Ham is 12-5. So that will raise £170, including stake, to Prostate Cancer UK. Should it come in, you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck, Sanch. Good luck, Andros Townsend. Pete, you probably want to give out a sort of message of goodwill as well.
Yeah, I mean, if it's for charity, I don't mind getting proved wrong.
Gritted teeth.
Lovely.
Gritted teeth.
And now it's time for Mad for Gold.
So the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played again.
People think I sing that.
I know, it comes up time and time
again.
Isn't
that weird?
I mean, you do sing it.
What do people think that my skill set is?
People also
think...
I can
barely do this.
People also think it's going for glow. G-L-O-A-L as well.
Ridiculous.
Oh,
but it's not, obviously.
Like the old spelling of jail.
Yeah, basically. It's G-L-O-L-D, glow.
It's going for gold.
With a lol in it.
Yeah.
Well, because that came from a glol, didn't it? When someone scores a funny goal.
Exactly.
People ask about this a lot. That's what it is. Stop worrying about it.
Can we have a biography? Like no, a biography? Biography? Yeah. No.
Glossary.
Bibliography.
So Pete needs a hard reset again. Turn Pete off and on again.
Mother. Jack French has got in touch. We're there.
Frenchy.
Going for a glold entry. Thanks, French Oz. First clue. I was born on the 20th of June, 1971.
Stop. Clive Mendonca.
Incorrect. Next clue is...
Stop. I'm going to go for Patrick Cliver.
Incorrect.
Stop. Basil Bolli.
Incorrect. Next clue is I'm not Raul. I made 459 appearances for 7 different teams.
work rate.
Yeah.
Scoring 12 goals.
Stop. Fernando Hierro.
Incorrect. My former colleagues include Ashley Young, Jermaine Pennant, and Steve Claridge.
Stop. It's not Sean Dyche, is it?
It's Sean Dyche.
Hey! Oh, Luke Moore
wins. Well played.
I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
Lord. In 1997, I scored a penalty in the FA Cup semi-final against Middlesbrough, despite never having taken one previously in my career.
He captained Chesterfield to
Chesterfield,
the semis.
Yeah.
I have a pub named after me in the town I currently manage in. When I feel a bit peckish, I love a little nibble on a worm.
That was the winner.
That was the glitch.
Yeah. Well played.
Thanks.
Yeah, very good. He was on the mind and you put...
It's my first success in this game for a very, very long time.
You got one the other week. You got one the other week.
Did I? I feel like Portsmouth setting fire to my own season.
You got Ramon Vega.
True enough.
You are on a roll, my friend.
Bush out, Campbell. I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Were you close then, Jim?
No.
Yeah.
The Raul thing was odd. Is there any?
I
think last week I kept saying Raul.
Right.
It wasn't Raul. Was not Raul.
They're very similar to Raul.
Yes, exactly. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Bet365. That's the end of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're all off to cheer on Andros Townsend, of course.
Yeah, enjoy the football this weekend, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you, and I was just going to quickly say, because we've got a bit of time, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes if you like the show.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Very.
Get onto iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, give us a nice review, helps other potential listeners to find us, and we can grow our community.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Sometimes it's okay to lie, so give us a nice review.
Yeah, exactly.
Say goodbye, PED.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
Bye from me.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.